Well, today we are moving on in our study of God's plan of salvation, and we are on number 5 in that plan of salvation. And we're going to be taking a look at, as your sermon sheet tells you here, we're going to be looking, as your bulletin tells you here, the sermon is, it is a fact that you can be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it seems kind of strange to have to preach that in a church of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? But here's a reality. Do you know that the Barna Group actually did a survey of Christian churches, and there are more than 43% of the people in Christian churches that do not believe that it is solely by faith in Jesus Christ that we can be saved? Do you know that? Isn't that an amazing thing? Over 43%, 43 point some odd percent, polled in Christian churches, supposedly born-again believers, do not. Now, how can you be a born-again believer and not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way unto salvation? All right? There's something wrong in our world. There's something wrong in our churches. So yes, we need to teach it. We need to teach it to the little ones. We need to teach it to the teens. And we need to teach it to the adults. Because the reality is, so many people are coming up with their own ideas. And you know, God does not ask our opinion. He tells us what to do. From time to time, He does give us an option. Now, there's a difference between opinion and option, isn't there? It's called a choice. And God says, you can make choices, but don't tell me how to run things, because He knows far better. Amen? So as we look at the plan of salvation, we're going to begin in the book of Acts in the 16th chapter. If you would turn there in your scriptures with me, we will all begin together looking at God's Word and understanding from this Word, because this Word is the authority for life in Christ. It is the authority for life in general. Whether you're in Christ or not, it is still the authority. And I think that's one of the most amazing things to understand. I don't care which of the other books, whether it's Confucius or the Mormon Bible, or whether it's the Quran, or what were you saying?
The teachings of Buddha.
The teachings of Buddha. All these things are written down in a book. But there's only one book. That is the book of life, and that is the book God has given us, the Holy Scriptures. We're going to begin in verse 23 in chapter 16, and this is the story of Paul and Silas as they have been arrested, and they're trusted over to the guard at the prison. Okay, we're going to begin in verse 23. It says here that after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, before I go on, I want us to understand. When this gentleman was entrusted with these prisoners, just as any Roman was entrusted with prisoners, you were responsible for them. If anything happened to them before they came up for judgment or while they were in your care, you paid the penalty of life over your failure, all right? So when it says that, you know, he was entrusted to these men were entrusted to him, and upon receiving such orders, look what he does to Paul and Silas, okay? These two were heinous criminals, all right? They were so bad, he took them in and he shackled them to the floor. Because he did not want these two getting away. Because he knew the things that had happened prior to this with these people called the apostles. That miraculously they showed up missing from their jail cells. So he locked them up tight. right? It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, let me ask you a question. You were sitting in a filthy jail, okay? We're not talking the pristine conditions that we have today in our prisons where everything's mopped and cleaned. And we're talking a place where if you needed to relieve yourself, that's what the floor was for. Okay? I know that sounds gross, but that's truth. All right? They were sitting in filth, shackled to the floor, and they were singing praises to God. How many of you would have been there? All right? What did I just say to the kids? You've just been given all this freedom to complain about everything you have, all right? And that's exactly what you and I would have been doing. Oh, man, this place stinks. I can't believe I'm here. You know, Lord, what did you put me in here for? And here these two guys are singing praises. They're praising God and singing hymns. Let's read on. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." That's how bad it was for this guy. He knew that if one of them left, he was going to be beaten to death. And rather than being beaten to death, he was going to take the expedient way out so he would not have to suffer. And notice the Apostle Paul's response to that reality. Paul knew that was coming. Why? Because Paul was a Roman citizen. Let's not forget who Paul is. Paul was a Roman citizen, so he called out to that one guard because he was just following rules, right? He was just following what his orders were. How many of us kill the messenger every time? I hate to tell you this, but this whole book talks about that for just about most of it because we're constantly killing the messenger. I believe that's who Jesus was. In fact, he wasn't just the messenger, he was the message, when we think about it properly. So Paul calls out, he says, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And in those words, the jailer finds salvation. No, in those words, Paul stopped him from killing himself. But there's no salvation in those words. Let's read on. The jailer called for lights. Rushing in, he fell, trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Blessed be the word of our Lord unto our immortal souls. Amen. When we look back over this, and because I taught on it up through, it says in here that he believed. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." What are we supposed to believe? Well, then it goes on here and it says, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him. What is the word of the Lord that is salvation? Is it just the name Jesus Christ that we're to believe? What is it that is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know it's 4 points? A good pastor can't even make a sermon out of it because it's 4 points, not three. So what we do is we make it 3 points because we combine the last two. There's 4 points. He died for you. He was buried for you. He was raised for you, and he is seated at the right hand of God interceding for you. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. 4 points. But those 4 points are the difference between salvation and Lord. Because most people take the first three and then they stop before they get to the fourth one. They accept his death, they accept his burial, and they accept his resurrection, but they stop on number four. Because, well, I don't really need him interceding for me. Because if he's interceding for me, that means I need to be following what he tells me, right? Because if I'm not following what he tells me, he's not interceding for me. Because he says, if you love me, you will do as I have suggested. Yeah, that's the word, commanded. And so many of us stop short because the church has stopped short because pastors want a good 3-point sermon. It's about the whole truth. And we need to grab a hold of that reality because it is a fact that there is no other name by which man may be saved. That's salvation. And many people know Jesus Christ as Lord, or as Savior. They say, oh yes, Jesus died for me and I know that. So they know he is the Savior, but do you know he's also Lord? And this is where people fall short, and this is why there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the end of time. Because there are going to be people who are going to come right out of hell, because believe me, they aren't sitting in heaven waiting on this judgment. They're going to come right out of hell and out of our earth, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. And he's going to say, away from me, for I never knew you. Because they knew him as Savior. They knew he died for them. They knew he was buried for them. They knew that he was raised for them. But they never accepted the reality that he is seated at the right hand of God interceding on our behalf. Which means, as I said, and I will stress, that if he is interceding for you, you have a relationship with him. You are doing what he says. And he is doing what he has said he would do. But when we fall short, when we miss that fourth point, we don't have it. And there are many people who have accepted the first three, and they know Jesus as Savior, but they do not know him as Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. You are an individual. You are, if you're married, a spouse. And you are, if you're married, a parent. Correct? If you have children, you're a parent. Correct? Now, can you at any time not be one of those three if all three of those things are you? So no matter what, you're an individual. No matter what, you're a spouse. No matter what, you're a parent, right? So how can Jesus be Savior and not Lord? He can't. But we force him into that situation. We segregate him. Well, yeah, he's my Savior, but you know, I'm still trying to get things worked out. But I know I'm going to heaven because I believe he died for me. Now, wait a minute, the Scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, right? So all I have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved. Folks, it's like the law. It says if you break one portion of it, you have broken all of it, okay? You can't accept points 1, 2, and 3 and not 4. It's the whole of it. You see, God doesn't have a multiple choice. Check the ones you like and you can live by them. It's all of it, or it's none of it. And that's where we find ourselves in this world. We see, but yet we don't believe. And I think that's one of the most amazing things. In fact, I want you to turn to a discussion about that in the book of John, chapter 20. The book of John, chapter 20. We're going to be in verse 24. The book of John, chapter 20, and verse 24. Because it is so amazing to me, and I loved our Bible study this morning, our discipleship hour, because when you went down this road, I was thinking, ha, this is part of the sermon today. I love it. God is so in the house when you are in God that you just, you know He is Lord. Because He is wrapped up in it all. I mean, it's like a wonderful appetizer wrapped in bacon. You know what I mean? It's just so much better. As my son says, everything's better with bacon. Verse 24 in the 20th chapter of the book of John, we read these words. It says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" We live in a world where seeing is believing. Okay? We live in a world that is so wrapped up in the physical reality that if something can't be touched or seen or examined, it can't be. Yet we believe in evolution. It's one of the strange... Well, no, we don't. Our world does. Yeah, thank you, Miss Beth, for clarifying that. The people on the internet are probably thinking, what in the world? They believe in evolution. No, we don't believe in evolution. The world believes in evolution. Thank you, thank you. But yet, our world operates in such a manner that everything else has to be seen, unless it doesn't fit their paradigm. For us, in Christ Jesus, it's not about seeing and believing. Because seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing by faith. And to me, that's exactly what Christ is saying here to us. We need to receive this by faith. And there are those who say, "Oh yes, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe this, I believe this." And they won't believe this because they won't believe He's interceding for us. They won't stand on His word. And it's so amazing to me. I get into conversations all the time, and I'm sure you do too. And for perhaps some of you have the very conversations yourselves. You know, what the Bible, does it really say that? Well, what's the best way to answer that question? Read the book. They've only printed how many trillions of them since 1815. Okay? Read the book and see for yourself. Because the reality is there is a time when we in Christ cannot simply believe because somebody else told us something. We need to be able to back it up with the hard facts of Scripture. Okay? That's why God gave us the Word. But once we have read the Word, now we need by faith to believe that Word. And it is by faith that we are saved. Because it is believing and not seeing that gets us through. Jesus said to Thomas, and I love it. put your hands here, put your fingers here, and put your hand here. How many of us do that with Jesus all the time? But Lord, if you're really with me, you will fill in the blank. Now, I'm going to be honest. In my early years of faith, I was there. I was there. Now, that reminds me of the story of someone who's in the book of Hebrews as being a man of great faith, Gideon. Gideon said what to the Lord? He said, look, God, you know, if this is really you, I'm going to lay a fleece out, and I want you to put dew on the fleece and not on the grass. And God did it. Gideon still wasn't just quite sure, so he said, okay, Lord, now we're going to do this in reverse. I'm going to put the fleece out, but I want you to put dew on the grass and not on the fleece. So was Gideon seeing to believe? Do you know what Gideon was doing? And this is so amazing because God really lit me up on this. Because for years I used to think Gideon was a man of weak faith. Gideon was a man of such faith that he did not want to do anything that was not of the Lord. So therefore he made sure as best he could. Remember, they didn't have the written word. They did not have the written word. So he did everything he could to make sure he was where the Lord wanted him to be, that he was not stepping out in front of the Lord, but that he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. What we all do is, we tempt God and say, but God, if you're real, you'll do this for me. Really? Really? There's a difference between what Gideon did and what we do when we're doing those things. Because the reality is, if we trust God, all we have to do is let it to Him and then follow as He guides. I'm so amazed when I think about the truth of what we're learning here today, that it is a fact that you can be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all about that faith. It is about trusting in Him. We learned this today in our Bible study. It is not about counting on men's strength and our resources. That's one of the questions, and it's one of my points. That we realize that God is the full strength and God is the full resource. That when we trust in Him, we have everything we need and more. Because He is the only one who can bring us unto salvation and give us truly eternal life. Restoring once again our relationship with Him and making us one with and in Him. When we think of Thomas, we call Thomas the doubting apostle. The doubter. Doubting Thomas. Don't you love that? How would you like to be known throughout history as the great doubter? I want to ask you all right now. If you were there, would you have been any different? No. Because you saw Him crucified. You saw Him beaten, crucified, dead, and buried. And 3 days later, His body's missing from the tomb. What's up with that? Are they messing with us? What's going on? But the reality is that when by faith, we believe what He said, because remember, they didn't even believe what He said until they saw Him again. And then they didn't comprehend it fully until when? The day of Pentecost. You see, this is a wonderful Pentecost sermon because it takes the Holy Spirit for us to believe by faith. We cannot believe by faith if we have not the Spirit of God in us. And that means we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have got to reach out to Him, and then He will implant Himself in us. And when He does, by faith, we can see all things and know all things. And I'll tell you right now, there's no better way to live your life than by faith. You know, I've been told by many people, yeah, but living by faith is kind of like living by the seat of your pants. You better believe it. Because you don't know where your next is coming from, but you know who it's coming from. And I'm telling you right now, my daddy ain't poor. He's got more than your daddy does. Do you ever hear those stories? You know what I mean? My daddy's so important. My daddy's so wealthy. I love the one about the preacher. My daddy's so important, it takes four people to carry all the money that he brings in. Brothers and sisters, our Father loves us so much that He gave us Himself in the form of His Son and in the form of His eternal Spirit to dwell in us and with us at all times. That's love, because we can never be separated from Him. When we truly believe the reality of what I have just taught you, that it is a fact that you can be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding the gospel has four points. Let's go over them, see if you remember them. The first is, He died for you. Now that needs to be taken personally, not as a group. Because He died for you. His death was totally for you. The second point, He was buried for me. The third point, He was raised for me. And the fourth point, He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, by faith received, set you apart from all the world unto eternity in the name of Jesus Christ. Now take that message and take it out into this world and give it away. Four simple points. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank You so much for the day that You have given us, this day of combined glory, that we look at the day of Pentecost, the coming of Your Spirit, and we look at the outpouring of that Spirit as You rested upon men and women, that they would give the ultimate sacrifice, their lives, for the freedom of a peoples. Lord, we thank You for that reality, for You gave Your life for the freedom of the peoples, that we may go forth from this place proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, that every man and woman may be saved who believes by faith. Lord God, empower us this day, on this day of Pentecost, that we may truly be the church of Jesus Christ, for there is no other name under heaven or earth by which man may be saved, save that of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's children said,
you have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.